This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hello, everybody. This is Sebastian Di Natale, segment director for The Daily Show, and we are back with another. Just, you gotta be quiet because I gotta intro you.
I know, but I've never seen this side of you.
Well, don't.
Okay.
I have to introduce you as like a surprise. Okay. Today, we're here with Daily Show correspondent and guest host for one entire show. And it's interesting because most people got a whole week to host The Daily Show. But for you, they said, now, you know what? This guy, his perspective, he's got about 22 minutes of it. And that's what we need from him.
Less, including the guests.
And it's including the guests, which went very long. And it's Mr. Funny Pants himself. We call him Mr. Ronnie Chang.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is a side of you I've never seen.
Oh, come on.
Polished presenter side.
Oh, please. I'm very polished.
Very unlike your day-to-day.
Stop. That's so fun. So you were a correspondent here for a long time.
Yeah.
And you recently hosted. Well, but you've been a correspondent here for a long time, but then you got asked to host.
Yes, which was very cool.
And what was that like? What was your hosting day like?
It was great. It felt like I was in charge of cleaning the floors in the kitchen for 8 years, and then one day they ask you to be the chef, and you're like, oh, I've seen this for 8 years, I kind of know what, you know. At the very least, I didn't feel nervous about it because I trusted everyone around me,
and you were witnessing all of the chefs and everyone making
every day. And so I couldn't have been more prepared for it, you know.
Was there a big transition between correspondent hat and host hat?
For me, no, because I downplayed it. I didn't want to get in my head too much.
Yeah.
And two, if you really break it down, there's not much more other than the topics you're talking about. So as the host, you have to cover everything. But as the correspondent, you get to come in and kind of hit on a very specific topic or segment and then get out. Whereas as the host, you're kind of like, whatever happened that day, it's on you.
Right.
You got to talk about everything that day.
So apparently close to a truce in the Middle East. That's right. I accomplished what no other Daily Show host could. Sure, maybe if you gave me the job permanently, I could solve this. But for now, here's what you get.
The difference between being a 5-second kind of joke versus you have to maintain the pace for the whole show. So you can't go too hard.
Yeah.
The whole time, you know, you have to have a good pace.
That flow. You got to have that flow. Yeah.
Whereas as a correspondent, your only job was to hit a home run any way you could, as much as you could. Just keep hitting it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so for when you went into the host chair, you recognized, like, there will be some lulls here. There's be some momentum building.
Yeah, momentum building. I also, I think the biggest thing on that idea was also, like, I have to be more likable as the host.
I see.
You can't just come in and do your correspondent persona.
You want to, basically kind of straight manning for the show.
Yeah, you're kind of straight manning.
You want the audience to be on your side.
Yes. You want them on your side, and you want them, like I said, it's kind of about pace. Like, you don't want to burn out the pace too soon, I think.
Did you feel like hosting the show, were you able to slip into like a stand up mentality in terms of how you were presenting to the audience, how you were reacting to the audience?
No.
Or was it kind of a different perspective?
Wow. That's a very nuanced question.
Thank you.
I think like the show and stand-up has always been pretty different. The skill sets overlap. But I think I was trying to channel, not so much channeling stand-up, but I was definitely trying to channel everyone I've been watching over the last 8 years, Trevor and John, and how they would host and how their pacing would go and how they would bring you into stories.
Yeah.
You know, I think John and Trevor are really good at bringing you into a story, which again, it's different skill set to like hitting a home run. So I was very conscious of trying to bring people into stories of like, hey, this is what's happening today. This is crazy. And then, you know, making sure the jokes I were doing weren't too one-dimensional in terms of yelling or just being angry or whatever. I was conscious of kind of being a bit more multidimensional with the jokes, you know, instead of just being a correspondent character, which sometimes is one-dimensional and it works because that's the point of it, is that you're playing a one-dimensional character ironically.
Yeah.
But as a host, you're not supposed to do that.
You co-hosted an ep with Costa.
Yeah.
Welcome to The Daily Show. I'm Michael Costa.
And I'm Rodney Chang. That's right, tonight you're getting two hosts for the price of one.
Wait, are they cutting our paychecks in half?
No, they're just not paying you. All right, so let's just get right into the headlines.
What was that like compared to solo hosting?
Yeah,
dual hosting.
Co-hosting was in a way easier because it's a much lighter lift in terms of just pure minutes on screen.
Sure.
In terms of minutes you have to perform, it was just less.
You're right.
But it was a bit, the difficulty was in getting a rapport with Costa that makes sense for the show and not just being, you do a joke, I do a joke, you do a joke, I do a joke. We were trying to get some kind of rapport, and we really had nothing to go off of. So we had to kind of develop it, you know, ourselves.
Your rapport and chemistry, basically?
Yeah, yeah. Not even just rapport and chemistry, because we're good friends, but it's more like, how are we going to do this on the show? How are we going to present this two-host thing without it being very siloed off?
Sure.
Yeah.
Because you need kind of a perspective.
Team, yeah. Because we're co-hosting, we have to be a team. So what does that even look like? Co-hosting also made it less scary hosting.
Right.
I kind of already...
You got a teammate.
Yeah, I got to see what it was like to half host a show.
Sure.
So
sure.
I couldn't have had better kind of skill set build up. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Correspond 8 years, I got to half host a show and then I got to host a show.
So yeah.
I felt like I couldn't be more prepared. Yeah. And John Oliver came in and he was a great guest, you know?
John Oliver is he's a British guy.
Yes.
He's a former correspondent on the show.
He's a very British
former
guy.
Host of the show for
former
a
host,
small period of time.
Yeah.
And you guys talked about being immigrants.
Yes.
Doing comedy in America. Coming over doing comedy in America.
Yeah. You told me it took you 2 years to relearn how to do comedy in America.
I think that's probably true.
You were spot on to the day, by the way. I was, in hindsight, I was like, oh my God, because I remember there was a day I was in New York City gigging at some comedy club, and it was 2 years in, literally almost to the day, and I remember things just starting to click a little bit of like relearning how to do comedy. Because again, like you, like me, we were doing comedy outside of America before we even came here.
Yeah, and so I think the outsider perspective in comedy always works. The thing with being an immigrant here is you kind of have to learn the exact ways that your outsider perspective can translate. Yeah. So you kind of have to learn basically how that can work. And once it does, you're fine. But until that point, it does feel a little bit like uncharted waters.
I feel like he's one of the few people who could relate to
that.
Such a specific experience, being a non-American correspondent on a Daily Show.
Hmm.
You know, technically Sam B, Jason Jones are Canadian.
Well, Canadians are basically Americans.
Yeah,
they're more polite Americans.
Yeah.
Not Jason, but Sam, certainly.
Oh, man, really going for it on this podcast.
He's a great guy. I know, we love him.
And then, so not technically the first non-American correspondent, but still, in many ways, the first very foreign.
Yeah.
Correspondent on Daily Show. So
did you find coming in like, I'm going to give an international perspective, I'm going to do this the immigrant way versus trying to do it the American way, or is there an American way?
Yeah, it's a really good question.
I think
Trevor was already there, so he kind of set the bar for being non-American and having a non-American perspective, very non-American perspective, I would say. And so I didn't feel the pressure to bring that. And in some ways, you know, the Daily Show and American entertainment, I would say, they don't always want a foreign perspective. Sometimes it's too foreign.
Yeah.
And it's not even a conscious thing. It's not even racism or anything. It's just like, it's too alien. It's too, the perspective is literally, we don't understand how you could be from a country that doesn't have guns and has good healthcare.
Sure.
And why you would think that's a good thing. And right. when you start talking about it, because they haven't even experienced what healthcare looks like.
Right. So, and in terms of like a joke, that setup is completely different because you have right. a different basis of reality than right. an American audience.
Right. And it's not racism. It's just completely, when you get into a very nuanced joke that they don't even get your perspective from
sure.
what you're saying.
Yeah.
Not that they don't want to, they haven't seen that
they
before.
They don't have that basis.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So to answer your question, a lot of the time I had to Americanize more than give an international perspective. I had to be more American to make sure I was landing the jokes. Because at the end of the day, The Daily Show is about American politics.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
For the most part, you know. Yeah. And so the international perspective helps a lot in terms of just giving a different look
sure.
at something, right?
Yeah.
So hopefully you have an original idea that someone in America hasn't thought of just because you have a different perspective. But at the end of the day, we're talking about American politics. The audience is predominantly American. If we tried to do an Australian perspective for The Daily Show, I think we all be out the door.
So host,
yeah.
correspondent,
yeah.
and stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
Three kind of different types of comedic roles.
Yeah.
You also, for your week, and you've done this repeatedly,
oh, yeah, we did a sketch.
But you also are a sketch actor as well.
Oh. Well,
an actor. You're an actor as well.
Okay.
You act in movies.
I try to be, yeah.
You're
yeah.
not playing a stand-up in your
sure.
in Megan.
Sure, that's
right.
Fair. Yep.
So for your sketches, because you and I did a sketch for your week.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for doing it. So one of the sketches, we did these people behind the people.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of a sort of look into these more mundane figures in non-mundane characters.
Wow. That was the most boring description of a
thank
comedy
you so
sketch
much.
I've ever...
Well, yeah. you know, truth in comedy.
Yeah.
But you played Trump's scheduler.
Yeah.
And that was a funny premise because he has a really busy schedule.
I have a color-coded system that falls apart every 10 minutes, but red is for state court prep, blue is for federal court cases, yellow is New York City court cases, purple is for time he spends with his kids, but I also use it for fraud charge cases because they basically overlap.
How do you approach comedic acting versus correspondenting, or is it the same thing?
When it comes into sketch, I try to get into the zone more. Like when you're doing stand-up, it's basically you're trying to, in my opinion, get to your own true opinion on a subject. So in many ways, you're trying to get to your own point of view as soon as you can and no one else's. You're trying to be as specific to your own point of view as possible.
Sure.
As a correspondent, you are working with other people to get to a middle ground perspective, meaning your own point of view plus other people's mixed in. Mm-hmm. And with sketch, you're completely someone else's point of view.
Right.
is my opinion on it. So when you're doing sketch, you totally got to get into a character. You have to like think like the character in the scene. You have to emote like the character.
Do you try to bring truth to your acting roles?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
That's the only way I can do it.
No, that's good. That's great.
If I don't do that, I feel like I'm doing a bad job. If I don't get into the character, I'm like, I think I'm half-assing this.
Sure.
Even for a comedy sketch, you know, you don't want to.
Yeah, no, that's great. I know a lot of comedic actors especially will, you know, either pretend or they'll just,
I used to do that probably, but I think I've gotten more experience with acting and I kind of know where I have to go to get into a zone a little bit better. So, but, you know, it's so funny. We're talking so seriously about all this stuff. At the end of the day, it's like so much of it is just an art feel, right? Like when you're doing comedy, don't you feel like there's a feel for it that you...
Sure. Yeah, you know? You mean like in terms of the... What the audience is getting out of it or what I'm getting out of it?
What for you to make something that you think is good, don't you think a lot of it is feel on
sure,
the day?
Sure, instincts,
you know,
feel,
you can't like... So for me, the best comedy sketches are the ones that are funny on the page and then we find magic on the day.
Sure, sure.
And if you rely too much on either, I'm like, it'll be good, but it's not going to be great.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. You have to have the preparation. And I still am a huge proponent of like rehearsal, for example, because once you know the lines, you can change the lines.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then on the day, because we found a lot of funny stuff on that day.
Yes, you're a huge stickler for rehearsal, which is good. Harsh taskmaster.
Well, you know, that's...
In a good way.
Yeah, I think that's what the, you know...
That's what it takes to be
good.
Best
things you can get out of people is when they know what at least the baseline is, and then they can go off the rails a little
bit. You want good writing on the page, and then you want to find the magic on the day, which you're always great at finding, you know, in sketches.
Oh, so are you, yeah. Ronnie. You're great at Did you find that for this character you played like a very frustrated guy? Was that hard for you? Was it really hard for you to find like an angry guy that was angry? Do you like being typecast for that kind of stuff? For being
the
sort
anger
of
stuff?
Asshole-ish. You weren't asshole-ish for this, but in some of your other pieces, like some anger, some kind of
Am I tired of it? It depends on the thing. It's very easy for me to do.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I don't hate it because I feel like I can
type. Yeah.
I can tap into that very easily. But
do you wish you had opportunities to play against type or play?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And I do. I do get opportunities to play against type sometimes. You know, I don't begrudge it. I mean, if it's a good, I think what I don't like is when it's, you know, kind of, for lack of a better term, typecast for the sake of being typecast.
Sure, sure.
That's when it's like,
yeah, we should do this one because Ronnie's angry.
Yeah,
yeah.
But if it's like, oh, this is a situation and he's an angry person, and he's, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, I can.
You know. You can tap into that, I think, the easiest.
Yeah, yeah. I think
the correspondence.
So, yes,
especially.
So, in a way, it's authenticity, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
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 Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats. Even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Part of the big component of art,
yes,
is your audience.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
You would, especially for comedy, I would imagine,
yeah,
stand-up especially.
Yes, yes. They you are the instrument that you play, yes.
So what happens when we go into this online world of comments, blog posts, reviews? Because I know you're a big anti-comment guy.
You
have bits in your stand-up about,
yeah,
you know,
I'm anti-comment. I'm anti-unqualified people on social media, kind of. You know, whatever they feel in a given second as though it's gospel.
You don't like that.
I don't like that.
You don't like people. Do you not like the judgment, or do you not like that they're not of the caliber to be able to make such claims?
I don't like the lack of qualifications in the claims, and I also don't like the emphasis we put on their claims.
Even us right now talking about it,
it's almost like, well, we shouldn't really care about it, you know.
Do you feel the same way about like just like art critics in general, or critique in general?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's qualified critics.
Sure.
You know, I think there's a lot of unqualified critics. I think we can universally agree that unqualified critique is kind of like unnecessary noise.
Sure.
I don't think it helps anything.
Sure.
So we all agree on that. So meaning that not all criticism is valid.
Or not all criticism is equal. You know, I think that you don't necessarily need to go to like journalism school or like write for the Wall Street Journal to have as critique of like a play, for example, as like a guy that goes to a play.
Sure.
And, you know, I think there is kind of a sort of, what's it called, a gatekeeping for art criticism.
Yes, and that, I and like
you agree with that. Oh yeah,
I like gatekeepers.
You talked about that on your episode.
Yeah, I love gatekeepers. I think gatekeepers are what make it. I mean, that's why, you know, when you got the job, I knew you were good because of the gatekeepers.
Sure.
To get into the Daily Show.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. But yeah. I think when it comes to commentary, it's and speech, right? Because this is speech. Yeah. It's a little bit looser than a gatekeeper that's like, oh, do you know how to use a camera? Do you know how to craft a story? Gatekeeping opinions to me is kind of, I don't know.
Elitist. It's very elitist.
I wouldn't call it like classist, but I would say that it definitely.
I am classist.
Okay.
But here's your point, though. I take your point about like you're trying to open up the ability for people to, the validity of people to criticize or give comments on art.
And you could say, I don't agree with this person.
Yes. But here's kind of my broader point, because I can accept that as what you said as a like, okay, that's a reasonable point of view, which is not completely wrong. And, you know, obviously when we say like, fuck all these critics, there's a bit of hyperbole in it.
Hyperbole?
Hyperbole involved in it. But the truth of the hyperbole is that it's very hard to make things.
Sure, I agree with that.
We can all agree.
I agree with that.
Making anything is very difficult.
Yes.
It's very easy to shit on things.
I agree with
Shitting on things takes zero effort.
Yes.
And so that's kind of the core of my issue
with
this.
I would agree with you on that, for sure.
Is that, we spend a lot of time making stuff and we put a lot of effort into making things. And so for people to sit on a toilet while taking a shit and look at something for 2 seconds and go blah, blah.
Yeah.
I've been doing comedy not that long, you know, since 2009. So what? I'm in my 14th year now.
Wow.
Not that long. You know, still baby by comedy standards, I think, or at least midlife or early, you know, 20s in my, anyway, whatever that analogy is. But like, I've seen a lot of criticism, you know, of myself, of other people. And a lot of it was like, this is totally not valid. Like, the way which they come at it, like, they don't even get the originating premise. They don't get like, oh, you're trying to be ironic.
Gotcha. They miss the whole thing.
They miss the whole thing. Sure. And sincerely missing it is just ignorance and stupidity, which is forgivable. But then there's another one which is like kind of more malicious.
I see.
Whereas they're trying to critique and they're trying to bring you down for no reason.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah,
and
I
don't like that energy. That's where all this comes from. Is like, I don't like the energy of people who just kind of complaining without making anything for themselves and and thinking that that's legitimate, you know.
Totally.
I don't think that's legitimate.
I couldn't help but notice you had a great Instagram post.
Oh yeah.
Of you in front of Times Square.
Oh yeah.
14
yeah.
years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With Hannah, your then girlfriend,
yes.
now wife.
Yes, yes.
And then another post where it was you nowadays. It's you now and it's you're on Times Square billboard to promote your Radio City Hall.
Which is easier than you think it would be.
It's hard to get to Radio City.
Radio City is hard, but Billboard, Times Square Billboard is very doable.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. So if you're out there and you got money, go get a Billboard.
Yeah, Billboard, yeah.
But doesn't, I mean, aside from it being a nice humble brag, isn't that sort of the proof in the pudding that you don't even really need to address these people because you have
making my point for me. Okay.
That's what I'm saying is you have the receipts, so to speak, to say that at least I'm doing something right in my industry that my industry is repaying me for.
Yeah, but you know, I think to your point anyway, a good evolution of yourself as an artist is when you truly don't care about that stuff and you're not just saying it. Meaning when you truly don't care about the critics and you're letting your work speak for itself. And I truly believe that now, you know, I'm not just saying it. Obviously, you know, shitty comics make me angry, but the time it makes me angry becomes less and less. And if you truly move beyond it, meaning letting your work speak for itself. And so I think that's where I am right now, where you just focus on the work. And it's not so much like, fuck the haters now. It's more like, no, I just want to make cool stuff now.
Gotcha.
You know? Yeah, and that's where I'm coming from. I think that's a better energy to have as a comic, as a creator, as an artist, right? I don't think you want to be making from hate.
Do haters stick with you more than lovers, or whatever you would call the opposite of a hater? Supporters? Because you have...
I objectively
tried to find more hateful comments on the YouTube videos to bring here today to razz you with. And there were overwhelmingly more supportive comments. Now, most of the comments were like, one of them, they were like,
so
how freaking extra cute is Ronnie with his messy hair? How cute is Ronnie with bangs?
I did see any of that.
Ronnie Chang is adorable with his hair tussled. So other than being, I guess in a weird way, like wanting to be taken care of like a baby to some of these people.
Sure.
I shared this clip with my aunts and they loved it.
Oh, yeah.
That was an interesting comment.
That's an interesting
one. Because, it seemed like that a lot of people, for whatever reason,
yes,
seem to love you and not shit on your art as much.
Sure, sure.
But do you feel the same amount of, because I feel like sometimes negativity can stick with people a yeah. little bit
yeah.
stronger than
yeah, I think
support.
Well, I think a lot of the, to that, to answer your question, I think a lot of the job now as a comedian, I can't speak to other art forms, but as a comedian, a lot of it is not overreacting to people's yeah. overreaction, because that, like you say, it's a very small minority.
Yeah.
And sometimes we let that stick with us more, you know. Yeah. And I'm not just saying this to sound cool, but like, I think I've moved beyond that a lot, you know, in terms of not caring about, you know, and focusing more on like making good stuff and not overreacting to a minority of people who don't like it. Because
yeah.
like you said, like the proof of the pudding is in what you've accomplished in real life.
Yeah.
You know, you've managed to sell Rio City. So I must be doing something right.
Yeah.
Meaning when people don't like it, it's my job to not, part of my job is to not overreact to the you know, minority of people who don't.
One of the comments for your host day was, the Asian guy isn't very funny, but if he can fix the Middle East, hire him full time.
Oh, okay. Well, so that's...
is that a good one?
I feel like that's a 50-50, right? That's
yeah.
not, that's not entirely bad, right? That's like a,
he's
good
not,
one.
You're, well, he's saying you're not funny, and that's your career. That's
yeah.
basically your entire job.
Yeah, but he's also saying...
you
he
fixed
would.
The Middle East crisis,
yeah.
which is not your job. So he's complimenting you for something you have really no
yeah.
authority
yeah,
or...
Yeah, yeah.
The other comment on the same video of, for the co-host
yeah.
was Michael Costa made this funny.
So oh,
I guess he
oh,
was
damn.
A little bit funnier.
Oh, okay.
And then I guess the intended host got COVID if Ronnie is hosting tonight was
yeah.
the other one.
Well, I'm as surprised as that person was that I got the host.
So. The final question I had for you, because I tried to find one legitimate, as you said, review
yeah.
of any of your week of hosting.
Sure.
And there wasn't a ton.
Well, my day.
Your day.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And the one review I kind of found was yep. about the sketch that we made.
Yeah.
It was in HuffPo.
Oh.
And I'm pretty sure it was written by AI. It was, there was a, there was a guy that was, it was attached to a name of a man.
Uh-huh.
But the way it was written, the sin, right. and not to like drag this guy, but the way, it was also, it was like Ronnie Chang is Trump's scheduler. Like it didn't
right,
know
right,
that, that, maybe they didn't watch it.
Right, right.
They didn't know you were playing a character.
Right.
And it basically, yeah, I was wondering, are you happy that AI is going to take over all of blog, like the Sports Illustrated thing just happened? And I'm sure, did you hear about that?
No, no.
Sports Illustrated, which yeah. just found out most of their articles were written by AI.
Really?
And the people working there didn't even know about it, like
wow.
the writers working there.
That's hilarious.
So instead of like addressing it, Sports Illustrated just deleted all of their articles from online
wow.
that were AI.
AI, you're asking me what would...
are you happy that AI will replace all these people you hate? Because a lot of AI review is just kind of like, it's more just,
vanilla.
Here's what happened.
Yeah, here's what happened.
And it and like they use words like
yes.
humorous, and they use words like send up. Like
I
it's
guess.
Very generic, but it's never bad. I wouldn't say, I haven't read an AI article that's negative.
I love, they haven't learned how to be negative.
Yeah.
I would say I'm glad that AI is replacing these idiots.
Good.
Because I don't think anyone should be paid professionally to complain without.
They're paid like maybe like $2.
I hope they
article.
Get paid less.
Okay.
Yeah. But I guess it'll just make it more, it'll add to the illegitimacy of critiquing.
I see.
Which helps me.
That helps you.
Because then I'm like.
And then you could be like, this review's fake.
I could be like, all review is pointless
yeah.
because it's all, you can't separate the good ones from the bad ones, so just ignore all of it and judge for yourself. What
and,
do you like?
And to that point, that's kind of why I think you gravitate towards stand-up because you have to have an in-real person
yeah.
validation.
Yes,
that's
yes,
like
yes.
a physical, you see
that's
a person
real
laughing.
In the moment.
You
and
see
yes,
that
yes.
validation
immediate...
or that scorn happening in real time.
Yes, 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 yes. 100%. 100%,
right.
yeah. All right,
well,
I don't know
Ronnie
if we solved
Chang,
anything.
We
here,
solved
but,
the stand-up comedy.
But thanks
conundrum.
For bringing I didn't know you were going to bring in the hateful comments. That's really
I
funny.
Had so many, again, not a lot of hateful comments. Everyone loves Ronnie Chang.
Oh,
and yeah, we thanks for joining us yeah. here in the studio.
Thank you, so hot.
Thanks for, and everyone at home, thank you for listening.
Can we get a fan in here?
To the No, it's we're almost done. To the Daily Show Ears
it's
Edition.
It's like a goddamn sauna.
We'll man. See you next time.
All right, see you
Play
guys.
The song.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show, wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health.
Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques. Whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products, Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
The wait is over. The Chi is back on Paramount Plus, and the stakes have never been higher. Everything changes on the South Side when a new threat comes to power in the Showtime original series from Emmy winner Lena Waithe. Battle lines will be drawn, alliances will shift, and danger lies around every corner, leaving everyone to wonder who they can trust. Visit ParamountPlus.com/TheShot to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto-renews. Restrictions apply.